Fall is all about cozy comforts, and with Hero Bread, you can enjoy all your favorites and still hit your health goals. From breakfast bagels and meal-prepped enchiladas to mouth-watering burgers and cheesy noodles, you won't believe Hero Bread's options have 0 to 5 grams net carbs and are high fiber from the taste and texture. And right now, Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use code FALL25 at checkout. That's FALL25 at hero.co. All figures are per serving of Hero Bread. Contains 2 to 18 grams of fat per serving. See the product nutrition panels on hero.co for more information.
Hello, everybody. My name is Ray. Welcome to the Evangelical Dark Web. Today, we're going to be discussing Mark Driscoll promoting 50-year mortgages as a good idea or a good policy. And this is just kind of wicked, and it's also kind of stupid. So the thing about Mark Driscoll, where he has appeal is what he lacks in theology. He's very good at practical wisdom. He is someone that, kind of has that sounds stupid, but is kind of smart kind of thing going on. So he's able to kind of speak to, blue collar men and stuff like that. So he is very articulate to a certain type of audience. And that is why I wanted to talk about this, because he is peddling nonsense in terms of promoting 50-year mortgages as a good or a necessary evil, when in the reality is, it's not, and there's no real justification for 50-year mortgages outside of investors who can maybe capitalize on that if the cash flow situation is tight. And I mean tight. So we're going to dive into this, but first I want to let you know Evangelical Dark Web is a Christian news gathering and commentary ministry. You can support our work over at Evangelical Dark Web's Patreon-like system linked in the description below. We also have a free newsletter. But the least you can do is like this video, subscribe to the channel, to the podcast, if you're new, because that is how you help out with those magical algorithms. Anyway, let's dive into it. We're going to do maybe most of this, but I do want to say, like, the advice towards the end where he talks about giving your children their inheritance early and helping them when they actually need help in life. Very good wisdom. Isker also writes about that in his book, The Boniface Option. That is very good wisdom, and that very much counteracts the oft what I'm seeing boomer mentality of not giving your kids an inheritance. So I do want to say there is some good in this video, but that comes at the very end. What's in the middle of that, or what we have to slog through to get to that, is them promoting 50-year mortgages as a good policy.
Get married, buy a house, have kids. If you can do it in that order, statistically, you're going to win.
Another government story. Shocking.
I'll interview you on this one, if that's okay.
All right.
So this week, they floated the idea of going to a 50-year mortgage. Mm-hmm. Most Americans are probably on an adjustable rate mortgage or a 30-year mortgage, would be my guess. And so this would open the opportunity for new people to enter into the housing market, but especially younger generations. Your background is business, you like finance and investment, and you're a real estate agent, mm-hmm. and you're a young home buyer. So 50-year mortgages, good idea, bad idea, what would your recommendation be?
Great idea. I love 50-year mortgages.
You said that so quick.
I know, you're going to attack me.
Well, not attacking, I'm just irritated with a 50-year mortgage. I think I'm with you, but I'm irritated.
Yeah.
So go ahead.
I love it. So historically, FDR, Trump referenced FDR. FDR added the 20-year mortgage, and home ownership went from 40% of people to 65% of people.
What was it before that? Before the 20-year, what was called?
40% of people owned a home. Okay. And then after he did the 20-year mortgage, that jumped 25% to 65% of Americans owned a home. I'm a big believer in Americans need to own homes.
Amen.
Corporations are buying up homes very, very quick. We're seeing cash deals even in Arizona very, very quick when no one else can buy, because the corporations want to buy up all the homes. If you want to get into conspiracies, they want to control what the average person pays for rent. So rent control, they'll just decide it's $2,500, $3,000. And if you can't buy a home, you can't compete.
And it's not a conspiracy that these companies are doing. It's happening in
massively.
Most of the houses being bought are being bought by a few different companies.
Well, there are many of them.
So this is a problem. It's a legitimate problem, but it's not a problem that's solved by 50-year mortgages. 50-year mortgages do not change this problem.
Are foreign investors owning American real estate,
yeah.
which is a whole other issue.
Yeah, terrible.
All right. You talk about a stronghold. That's very much a stronghold of other countries coming in and buying our homes up. I think inflation is awesome in real estate. It's going to happen. The government's going to keep printing money. I'm not thrilled at that, but it's reality. We saw in COVID, all of a sudden they added 25% supply of money into the system, and no one thought inflation was about to happen. And then it went off the charts. I, as a new home buyer, we had bought a very average home price at like 350. We bought our first house, 350. COVID happens. Within a year, that house went up by 40 or 50% in value.
Wow.
Not because I was so smart and a great investor, because inflation just shot into the economy. Everyone moved to Arizona during COVID, lots of things. But home prices across the country did that during 20, 21, 22. So your house will grow with inflation. Your mortgage won't. Your mortgage is going to, you're going to owe the same amount of money, and the money just got a lot cheaper. So a lot of people don't realize that inflation actually helps your debt quite a bit. It cheapens it.
So for first-time home buyers, there's a lot of young adults.
So what he said about inflation cutting in the debt is correct. You know, if you have a low interest mortgage, there's no point in paying that off. All the extra money that you have that you could pay that off with, you should just invest in the market. You would get a much better return. It's not financially optimal to pay down your mortgage and to go to war with that. I know that's what Dave Ramsey says. I know that's what Kevin O'Leary says, but that's not the most financially optimal thing to do, especially if that's not achievable in a short time period. Like, it's one thing if you have, okay, 3 years left on your mortgage, pay it down early, and then you're good because you got a lot more cash flow. That's not really the case when you're a couple years in. So I think what he's saying, there's, again, some truth to it, but it's not a wise decision to go with a 50-year mortgage, as we're about to see. The biggest thing is the American people voted for mass deportations, and mass deportations is the number one thing that you could do in order to crash the real estate market, which is what I want to happen. Like, the real estate market needs to crash. Prices need to come down regardless of money printing. The prices can go down because it's supply and demand at the end of the day. And that's what we want. We want, in this case, the American people voted for this. We want fewer people chasing the same amount of houses, because guess what? They're not just going to build more houses because they want to have maximum margins on it. And it's a very regulated industry. The construction industry is. So a lot of red tape. And the fact is, you know, it's not easy to be in the construction industry, especially for housing, because you're incentivized to maximize your margins and not mass produce houses. So with that said, mass deportations, 100 million people deported out of the country. That is the quickest way to make home buying affordable for young Americans. Get rid of all the people who don't belong here. That's how you do it. We don't need 50-year mortgages. That is not how you solve the problem. So I wrote an article about this. And I said that 50-year mortgages were a retarded solution to a dystopian problem. And the real solution is right in front of us. It's what Trump campaigned on: mass deportations. You get rid of the illegals, you get rid of the H-1Bs, and all of a sudden, you have a lot more room to play with. There's fewer people chasing the same amount of houses. That's the solution. That is the solution. It's not even an interest rate issue, because interest rates are actually the only thing keeping houses from going up in price even more than what they're actually going up in. That's actually the only thing that limits the ability for investors to get in. So that's actually not the solution. The solution is to get rid of the demand. Cut the demand by sending these people back to where they came from. So that is the obvious solution. And every single Republican outreach, voter outreach effort should be saying this, but they're not.
They don't understand this. They're looking at the market and the terms, but they don't understand that first-time homebuyers, completely different set of terms. Maybe explain the benefits for a first-time homebuyer.
Totally. You can get a low interest rate. Your parents might tell you you need 20% down. Sure, that's awesome, but you don't need that. The market, especially in America, is going to keep going up because of inflation. If there's a 50-year mortgage, the market's going to jump. We're going to see an aggressive climb here, because it means more people can buy homes. But there's tons of government programs, and I mean, they're going to give it out to a lot of people. So why not let you be one of those people? They will pay a lot of your down payment. I had a young couple the other day. The government gave them 30 grand that's forgivable in 3 years if they hold that home. Well, the government's just going to give them free money. And you might have some, my wife being one of these, might be like, we're not taking money from the government out of principle. They're going to give it to someone. Just apply for the grant, take the grant, get the forgivable loan, and start building a legacy. But you can buy a home, a first-time home buyer, and especially in Arizona, it's expensive. So a lot of other states, it's going to be lower. But you could spend $8,000 to $15,000, and you could be in a first-time house, and the government will fill the rest of that down payment. And you
get a lower interest rate, perhaps, as a first-time home buyer.
Yep, lower interest rate. So a lot of great benefits. It's not that hard to buy a house. I always thought it was. I think it's one of the easiest wealth-building tools for a young person, because you're going to pay rent. You're going to do something. It forces you as a young man or a young couple to go start investing, and over the long term, that home is going to go up. What disagreements do you have with a 50-year mortgage?
So what he just said there is actually how you game the system, by using government loans and government programs. We use a state program for this house that I'm living in, and that lumped in my wife's student loans in there. So we didn't have to pay back student loans that have now been amortized and basically completely forgiven because it's been 5 years. So they amortized the loans over 5 years, and now they're gone. So we got rid of student loans and got down payment assistance with a interest-free loan. And, you know, it's not like we put nothing down, but we did not put 20% down. So, yes, these programs exist. This is the direction that we should be pushing young people into. We should not be pushing young people into the direction of 50-year mortgages. That's retarded. And I guess they're going to try to mitigate how retarded it is, but let's let them finish.
Drew, what do you wrestle with 50-year mortgage?
So if we were having this exact same conversation 10 years ago, 50 years ago, 100 years ago, and now all of a sudden we're like, hey, what do you think about a 50-year mortgage? I'm like, I think it's a terrible idea. I think it's awful. And it's because we're such a prosperous country that a 30-year mortgage or a 15-year mortgage, typically the average home buyer could afford it if they just minded their P's and Q's.
Yep.
And the only reason we're having this conversation now is because wild, reckless overspending is impoverishing our nation. So now it becomes a necessary evil to push out a 30-year mortgage to a 50-year mortgage so that we can buy them up before BlackRock does. And so I hate that that's happening, because 10 years ago, 50-year mortgages was a bad idea. And so now it's just a stopgap.
Yep.
But what it's doing, though, it's allowing, it's a realistic, sober approach of where we are at right now, a 50-year mortgage. So I'm on board with you.
Yep.
But here's what I hate. It's admitting that we are certainly impoverished.
Yep.
We're having to compete with these major corporations doing a really shady thing because they're going to jack rents up. And what else are you going to do? So you might as well do it. But I know the American consumer they are going to be a much bigger debtor for their entire lives now. They're never going to pay off their home. And you could say, well, you could get a 50-year mortgage, but pay it like it's a 30. And people reason that. And if you could actually do it, that'd be great. But almost no one does. I think you guys would. And like two of you people out there would do that. Nobody else is going to do that. It's the same reason why Dave Ramsey is so against anyone having credit cards. It's because you'll say, well, the points and I'm doing this and cash back actually come out ahead. And you're right, technically on paper, but consumer habits is you're going to not do it and you'll be irresponsible. So you're going to get a 50-year mortgage and you're going to pay it for 50 years. You're not going to pay it off early. So you're going to be a slave to the lender. And if you get a...
Again, I don't think the proverb about being slave to the lender necessarily applies to mortgage. It's a proverb. We got to remember that that's the genre of scripture that verse is. So it's not an exhaustive teaching on using leverage to acquire assets. Now, we could actually debate whether having a house is an asset, because I definitely bring up that debate in the article that I wrote. Because, you know, Robert Kiyosaki, the author of Rich Dad, Poor Dad, famously argued that your house is not an asset. And if you're looking at your own house to, you know, be the reason why you're rich, you're not actually rich. So I hate to break it to you, but that's just the reality, because, you know, wealth is, most important metric is cash flow. It's not necessarily the ability to have untapped resources, or your own house is not a realized gain until you sell it. So, you know, when you talk about investments aren't realized until you sell them, or unless they're paying you in cash. So stuff to keep in mind. But he's gonna go into an argument about how it's a necessary evil, but the math does not justify it. So he's about to do the math but I'm kind of going to skip over that because, again, his math kind of matches my math. And let me just show you. So I'll skip over because his math will agree with my math, but I just want to be a little bit more visual in this. So he says, so let's just do, for instance, a $300,000 principal on a 15-year mortgage. It is a 41% higher monthly payment. So that is, it's a monthly payment of $2,531.57. So it's $732.92 higher than the baseline at 30 years, which is a $1,798.65. This is in a scenario where it's 6% interest for all. So all this is a theoretical scenario. This is not a realistic scenario. This is a theoretical scenario where it's a 6% interest for all of these control groups here. The 50-year mortgage is 12% lower. It's only $1,579.21. It's a 12% difference. That is nominal. That is actually very nominal. That's not a lot. So ultimately, we're talking about $200 here, give or take, but we're not, it's not really the whole picture here. And because what have we not factored in? We have not factored in PMI, which is mortgage insurance, because 100% of the people who are going to take 50-year mortgages are not going to have 20% down. So they're going to need PMI 100% of the time. I'm stereotyping, but you know it's true. 100% of the time, these people are not going to have 20% down, because if you could have 20% down, you would not be doing a 50-year mortgage. So at 6%. So does not financially make sense. Unless you're in a tight situation where this investment property is not going to bring in much and we need all the cash flow we can get to make it work, you know, if you're trying to rent it out, then you could justify a 50-year mortgage because you're in a situation where cash flow is sensitive and not all rental properties make money. Something to keep in mind if you're trying to get into that. It's not as easy as it looks. And it's not as easy to get in today as it was a couple of years ago when you could buy real estate, breathe, and make money. So that's scenario one. And the difference is only 12%. And this is a theoretical scenario. It's not a realistic scenario. More realistically, there are typical rate differences. So the 15-year would have a slightly lower interest rate. And now the 50-year would probably have a higher interest rate than the 30-year. So now that we have our new baseline, the monthly payment is going to be 36% higher for the 15-year at $2,450.66, which is 36% higher than the baseline of 30 years, which is still $1,798.65. But now that we've adjusted the interest rates for the 50-year, which would be at 6.5%, so the 15-year is at 5.5, now the 50-year is at 6.5, that drops the payment or raises the payment to $1,713.32, a difference of $85.33, which is 5% lower. And again, we have not factored in PMI. So long story short, if you cannot afford a 30-year mortgage, you cannot afford to buy a house at all, like really not at all. You should not be looking at doing this. Do not be dumb with your money. It is cheaper. It is in many cases cheaper to rent right now. And you should not be looking at 50-year mortgages because you can't make up the $85.33 difference before PMI, which again could be $100 to $200, maybe $300. I don't know, because 50-year mortgages are, you know, they should come with a higher PMI because it's a riskier loan, because you're giving loans to unqualified buyers and it's a very lengthy loan. So this is a very high risk situation from a PMI standpoint. So I'm going to let them finish. So they basically say the same thing. Their math is the same, but they've not factored in PMI.
yeah, it's going to save you $200-ish a month.
Yep.
And what's it cost? I'm like, oh, it saves me $200 a month. Well, what does it cost you? You're going to pay an extra 20 years. And at the end of it, you would have paid almost $1 million for a $400,000 home. That's wild. That's really expensive.
But it's better than renting.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I agree. It's better than whatever. But if we...
And this is where they're wrong. It is not actually better than renting. Most Americans do not live in their houses for very long. And now when you go to sell, you have so little equity position other than market appreciation, which in this current real estate market is not a guarantee. Especially if we get those mass deportations that Americans have been clamoring for, it's not going to be a guarantee that the market's just going to appreciate like that. Again, we're seeing real estate market crashes all over the country. And again, I want the real estate market to crash. It's overinflated. That's where I'm at on this. We need the market to crash. Young people need the real estate market to crash. And what they're assuming is that the market always goes up, which is not true. There have been real estate market crashes many times in many places. And they assume that if you buy a house, you're automatically going to make money when you go to sell a house. No, because there's closing costs, there's commission that you have to pay the real estate agent, assuming that you're using a real estate agent, which if you're using a 50-year mortgage, you probably should. And the other thing that's not factored in is the maintenance of the house. All of this goes in to measuring your investment, especially if you do anything to the house to add value to it, or that doesn't add value to it, but is just something that you want. But most Americans, especially young Americans, aren't exactly dropping anchors to lay down roots more permanently in their own communities. A 50-year mortgage does not allow them to the flex to be able to sell a house in a couple of years because they won't have the equity position. Unless, and their assumption in this video is that inflation is just going to keep going up. Inflation can keep going up, but the price of goods is still the price is still what someone's willing to pay. So,
if we could just not spend so wildly, because all the dramatic government spending is causing this. We're in this problem because of a $38, $39 trillion debt in runaway inflation. And so now we're talking about 50-year more. I'm like, hey, come on. How about getting perpetual debt for multiple generations because your government can't curtail spending? Yep. We're talking about a 50-year mortgage because government spending. So if we do a 50-year mortgage, okay, I get it. Necessary evil. But let's cut the head off the beast of government spending. Or before you know it, we'll be talking about a 70-year mortgage. Totally. And it's because of the government's fault. Totally. And I don't like it. I don't like it.
Okay, John, but here's my pushback. What is that house worth in 50 years?
I get it, that it's still worth it.
It's a $4 million house, and that's average home price in 50 years. So
maybe so. We'll see.
I know.
Of like,
any more land.
What fun depressions await us?
I know.
What fun government features await?
In every 100 years, and the last one was in the 1920s. Yeah. So giddy up.
Because the trend of all this government spending is ultimately a complete evisceration of our economy, where the Marxists own anything, and that house you worked on for 40 years is seized by the state anyway. That's where all of this eventually lands. So
the wildness of the debt. There is a debt of $330,000. If memory serves me correct. For every American taxpayer.
Correct, yeah.
Which means whether or not you have a mortgage, the government took one out for you.
That's right.
You owe $330,000 in just debt.
Yeah.
Another thing worth mentioning is that, hey, if we get rid of the Federal Reserve, we actually get rid of the national debt and we reduce the number of dollars in the U.S. economy. Just saying, like, that's your solution is the federal government can get rid of the Federal Reserve, which gets rid of the debt that they hold because they're the number one holder of the U.S. debt. The number two holder is the federal government. The federal government's the second largest holder of the national debt. It's not China. China, I believe, is number four behind Japan at number three. So a lot of things can be done to get rid of the national debt other than, you know, paying it off. Anyway, I do want to skip ahead to the part where there is some wisdom here because I do think that because they're acting like it's automatically worth it or the house is going to be worth $4 million in the future. And I don't believe that that's true. I don't think that is justifiable. And at the end of the day, when you sell your house, you're ultimately not going to be homeless and on the street. So you're going to use that money to buy a new house. And if you keep doing that in quick succession and take out 50-year mortgage, 50-year mortgage, 50-year mortgage every single time you do that, you're never going to actually achieve complete home ownership. And that is what Robert Kiyosaki argues when he says that a home is not an asset, because many people never actually fully realize, you know, ownership. They're still paying a mortgage well into retirement age. So, I mean, that guy knows a thing about money, and he definitely knows a lot about real estate. So I'll take his advice on it over Mark Driscoll's son-in-law here. So I think the last part I'll show is this part right here.
So like when our kids got married, like I was talking to one of my daughter-in-laws, and she's like, I got to get a credit card because, you know, I need to get a credit score so that when we go to buy a house, we'll have a good credit score. I said, no, sweetheart, I love you. Don't do any of that. I will make you an authorized user on my account, which means then when they pull your credit score, you get my credit score.
Well, that's great. No, that's
all. So you don't need a credit card, and you don't need to play the credit card game, and you don't need to take any risk. You don't need to go out and get a car loan and start doing these really foolish things. Older generations can really help if they can borrow your credit score and get a first-time home buyer opportunity. Now you're unlocking generational wealth for your kids.
Yep. And the one other thing you did that was awesome, and hopefully I'm not oversharing here, but you were willing to match a down payment for us up to a certain number. And you always talk about give your inheritance to your kids early, because 10 grand for me right now is much better than 100 grand in 30 years.
Well, in 30 years, you know, let's say I live 30 years. In 30 years, if you really need the inheritance,
I failed.
You didn't do a good job. When a couple really needs their inheritance, is at the starting line. Like, we want to buy a house. We want to have kids. So my goal is always like, if you can and you're older, get as much of the inheritance to the kids as early as possible if they're wise and good stewards, and then they're going to multiply that. But in 30 years, you don't need help with your first home.
No.
Can I ask a question on that?
So that is good advice. At the end, the idea of trying to leverage a home for 50 years to save $85 a month is bad advice. And that's if it actually saves $85 a month, not a guarantee. That's bad advice. We should not be promoting 50-year mortgages. This is a dystopian solution to a problem that can easily be solved, maybe not easily, but simply be solved by mass deportations. This is what the American people voted for. American people should not be taking no for an answer on mass deportations. And we should not be taking accepting 50-year mortgages and 15-year car loans, because they didn't mention that part, which is very related to the same issue, as solutions to the dystopian problems. So that's all I got to say about that for today. My name's Ray. It's the Evangelical Dark Web. Have a blessed day. Stay based. Christ is king. And we will catch you on the next one.